The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now joining us on the line is Padraig Horkan, he of the Horkan Garden Centre family. Padraig, good morning.
A very good morning to you, Pat.
Loads of questions coming in. What's the weather like? What you get now, we'll get later.
The weather's absolutely fantastic. It's lovely and dry, lovely and warm today, and good weather, I think, up to about Friday. So great gardening weather.
All right. Now, first question. What summer bulbs to sow, and can I plant into the soil rhubarb, which is potted at the moment? That's from Patrick.
Absolutely, Patrick. So great time to plant rhubarb out into the garden soil. The key thing with rhubarb is not to harvest it in the first and second year. So allow it to grow right through until August, September, feed it well, build it up. And then in its second and third year, you can start taking some, a couple of light sticks. So build it up for a couple of years and then start harvesting it. In terms of bulbs, Pat, it's all the summer flowering bulbs, the dahlias, the lilies, the scented lilies, gladioli, which are brilliant for cutting, scented freesias. Pop into your local garden centre. There are lots of great summer flowering bulbs ready for planting.
This one, last year I had fungus gnats in a raised bed on a balcony. So last winter I cleared out all the plants and the top half of the compost. Would it therefore be free of gnats now and ready to top up with new compost and plants, or will the gnats be lurking?
I know. So these are compost gnats, Pat, that actually live in the compost and they feed on the decaying matter that's in compost. And generally, if you're keeping compost too wet, you encourage the amount of gnats or small flies onto the compost. So the listeners remove the compost, so that's great. Starting with fresh compost is a really good idea, but also allowing the compost to slightly dry between watering. So don't be overwatering the compost. Keep it dry, keep it semi-dry, and the gnats won't be a problem.
Now, he's only removed the top half of the compost.
That's fine. That's fine, okay. Because that's where they live. They'll only sit in the top 2 to 3 inches. So the fact that you've got rid of that, you've broken the cycle. So the key thing is not to encourage them back, so keep the compost semi-dry.
I've been trying to get foxgloves to seed naturally in the garden for about 6 or 7 years. I've scattered thousands of seeds and I've left bought plants go to seed, but not one has been successful. Yet I see these growing in the wild, even out of stone walls. What could be going wrong? That's from Kieran in Dublin.
Well, Kieran, they are so easy to grow, but the key thing with foxglove seed is that it needs natural light. And generally speaking, when we're advising the sowing of seed, we always advise to sieve a little bit of compost over the seeds, bury them by a couple of millimetres. But with foxgloves, they need to be on the surface of the soil. So it's very important not to disturb the very top layer of soil after seeding. And it generally takes about 3 to 4 weeks for the seeds to germinate. If you check around maybe some of the foxglove plants you have at the moment, there may be little baby seedlings there at the moment that you can transplant. Or you can also take basal cuttings, so little cuttings at the base of the existing foxgloves, and repot those and you get some fresh plants as well. The other key way to grow foxgloves is to sow them from seeds in trays. So again, a little bit of compost, sow the seed directly on top of the compost, don't cover them. Covers with a little bit of cling film until they germinate and then transplant them out into the area.
Could you recommend a long life ground covering flower for a pathway?
Well, a beautiful plant that I have in my own garden is a Nepeta catmint, but there's one called Parisian Blue that stays very, very compact. It forms a lovely border, silver foliage that's scented, so it's got the scent of mint. But it's got beautiful blue flowers from mid-May right through until late October, often into November. It makes a beautiful border. Instead of lavender, Pat, which people find difficult to grow because it's a Mediterranean plant, Nepeta Parisian Blue is a really, really nice plant, only growing about a foot, maybe 15 inches in height and about 18 inches in diameter. So lovely little border plant. Bergenia is another plant that you could consider. We call it elephant's ears because the leaves are really large, rubbery, but it produces beautiful pink or red or white flowers, depending on the variety. Again, pop into your local garden centre.
When is the best time to move a wisteria?
Well, wisterias dislike being transplanted. If it's a young plant, move it when it's dormant from any time from October right through to March. They have come into leaf. The flower buds are forming. So if you move it now, you're going to disturb it. So leave it until late October, really early November. Transplant it at that stage.
I was gifted a Tasmanian fern from my dad. He grew it for the last 20 years. The one he gifted me was a growth out of the side of the original one that he recently split. It's in a large pot for about a month. Should I clip the leaves back to the start, or do you have any recommendation to keep it in top shape as the end of the leaves are going slightly brown?
Well, this is a beautiful plant. So this is Dicksonia antarctica, the Australian tree fern. They are evergreen, so the leaves that are on it at the moment have been there all winter, and they naturally pick up a little bit of brown marking over the winter period. It's actually at the time of year now, Pat, end of April, where you prune back those fronds. So the old winter leaves, as it were, should be removed at this stage. Leave about, when you're cutting them back, don't cut them right back to the main stem. Leave about 6 inches, 4 to 6 inches of the old stem. That's important. And you'll notice the new fronds actually starting to grow in the centre of the fern at this time of year. You've also got to mimic the Australian weather at the moment. So again, give it some water. The early fronds need to be watered about once a week, and a liquid feed at this time of year as well. Right. So prune back the fronds, leaving about four inches of the old stem, water the centre of the tree fern and give it a liquid feed, and they'll be absolutely magnificent in a month's time.
I planted three varieties of daffodil bulbs last autumn in the same border. The Tete a Tete and Bridal Crown varieties all flowered this spring. However, only 6 of the 60 daffodil Mando variety flowered. Not sure what went wrong. Should I dig up these bulbs and replace them? That's from Vanessa.
Oh, Vanessa, no, leave them alone. I mean, this can often happen with narcissi or daffodils. I mean, when you're buying the bulb patch in the autumn, the flower embryo is already formed within the bulb. So the little flower bulb is actually there, generally on mature bulbs. If the bulbs are a little bit smaller, you tend to get leaves for the first year, as the listener has got this year, but the plant will settle down into flowering for next year. So leave the bulbs alone. If anything, at this time of year, daffodils, you should be feeding them. So I would give them maybe a granulated feed, like something like the Osmo Pro 6. Feed them up, because you're swelling up the bulbs for next year. And it's also a great time of year for listeners that have daffodils that are dying back to transplant them. If you want to split your daffodil clumps and propagate and get some free plants, this is a really good time to do it. But for Vanessa, leave the bulbs alone, let them die naturally, give them a feed, and they should be perfectly fine next spring.
And maybe time for one more from Bob. Can I still divide hostas, rebeccia and anemones, perennial clumps? They've just started to grow, but I'd like to spread them around my garden now.
Yeah, so Bob, you should do it this week if you can at all, if at all possible. They're coming into growth. They're about 4 or 5 inches high at the moment. So split them, divide them with a sharp spade. Take, you know, kind of clumps that are maybe 4 or 5 inches in diameter and spread them into new areas of the garden. With the dry weather, give them good watering and they'll be perfectly fine.
And very briefly, I have raised beds prepared by adding vegetable compost. What veg and salad plants can I plant out of doors now? It's cold but dry.
Yeah, it's a really great time of year, Pat. Pop into your local garden centre. All the cabbage varieties are available. All the salad crops are available for planting now. Onions, peas, broad beans. You've got, cauliflower. They're all available. All the vegetable plants are available at the moment. Just make sure not to put out anything that's frost tender, like tomatoes or peppers or chilies just yet. It's too early. But all the other veg are perfectly safe for planting out. And the plants are in your local garden centres.
Padraig Horgan, thank you very much for joining us. A reminder now that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app powered by Go Loud. Just search
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on Newstalk.